Good morning and welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be learning Perek Lamed Ches, the 38th chapter in the book of Iyov. And this is really a turning point because up till now we've only heard human voices essentially in dialogue with humans. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did appear in the conversation at the beginning with the Satan, but now we actually hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu addressing Iyov. It is interesting that he addresses Iyov specifically and not the friends of Iyov. It sounds like this is a private conversation and a public one. A lot of things to think about when looking at this perek. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response is going to be from Perek Lamed Ches all the way through Perek Mem Aleph. So that's four prakim long. There's not going to be any interception or intervention of human voices. Our perek is 41 psukim long, and it's important to notice that the language of our perek is reflective of the language of the rest of the Sefer, which means to say it's poetic, it's descriptive, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives nevuah to the Navi in the way that they understand and appreciate it. So Iyov was a very poetic person. He was a person who looked at and felt the color of the wind. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is responding in like. We're told the first pasuk of the perek is, Vayan Hashem es Iyov, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to Iyov, and he says, Min ha-sa'ara, or Min sa'ara, Vayomer, from a storm, and he says, so what's the idea of this storm? So the Malbim explains that you, Iyov, had claimed that everything that happened to you was a natural catastrophe. Your only way to theologically explain your innocence and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's judgment was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not do this specifically to you, but let you out, or left you out in the storm, and that's what happened to you. So at this point in time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I'm going to answer you from that storm that you constructed. The storm that you could not believe I was present in, I will explain that I am there, and I'm going to show you that's the way it is. Here, the Rav Schwab gives an example about an anxious passenger who's pacing up and down in an airplane, and this could obviously only be true in the old days, but the captain would invite the passenger in and say, look, here's all the instrumentation, here's my expertise, and just by seeing the complexity of the machinery, the passenger would be at least put to rest. And that's why Kosh Baruch Hu is saying is, Iyov, let me show you a few things here. It's also important to notice another way of looking at this, why is it Min HaSa'ara, is that remember that Iyov was tested twice. First, he had a whole lot taken from his life, his children, his wealth, his assets. And at that point in time, he seemed to answer very religiously, Hashem Rasan Hashem Akachi, Shem Hashem Vorach. He accepted HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rav Shimon Schwab points out that perhaps his succeeding to survive the first storm was with the Zechus HaKadosh Baruch Hu is appearing to him over here for. Rashi also points out an interesting thing, and that the word Sa'ara is the word similar to the word Se'ar, which is hair. Why hair? Well, it's interesting. It's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying that, you know what, you want to have an answer as to theodicy, why it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts like this in his will. Well, look at your hair. Min Sa'ara, that if you look at it from your own hair, as many hair as you have on your head, that's how many millions of answers that I possibly have over here. By the way, it seems, therefore, that the answer actually exists already there. Meaning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have to say, go elsewhere. It's almost as if they are in your own head already. They're latent within you. You don't have to go anywhere else. The perek is broken up into a number of points. The way I'm looking at it is about 11 different points, but there are different ways of breaking it up. The first point he makes is from Psukim Beis to Gimel. In this, he asks Iyov questions about darkness and asks him to gird his loins. He says, you know, Iyov, you had darkened the world with your Eitzah B'milyon B'lidas. You had a lot to say, and you didn't really know what you're saying. And, you know, so many times we see this today. There's people who just aren't informed, and they espouse their opinion, and they write op-eds, and they do all kinds of things, and it's really destructive because they just don't know what they're talking about. Iyov, who are you to darken the world with this? This is really the introduction. You know, it says, gird your loins, and I'm going to ask you a few questions. And that's really what the rest of the perek is. The rest of the perek is HaKadosh Baruch Hu asking Iyov rhetorical questions, saying, do you know about this? Do you know about this? How does this work? Why does this work? And ultimately, that this is the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do it. He's not going to be answering Iyov's questions. He's going to be putting Iyov into place. It's interesting, at this point in time, the Ramban points out that the only reason this happened now was because Iyov, at this point, had accepted the rebuke of Elihu, which meant that Iyov in himself had done a degree of teshuvah, and only because he did the teshuvah was he ra'ui l'nevuah, that he was able and deserving of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's communication. Early on, he'd reached out and asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu why he didn't respond to him. Maybe he didn't deserve it up to this point. Only now, when he's willing, is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu reaches out. So a few things he asked. Here's a few of the questions. Psukim Dalad to Zion is our second point. And he says, Eov, were you there at the time I founded the earth? Can you tell me a little bit about that? Eov, tell me about that point in time. So he goes on to explain a few examples of that. He says, were you there when, so to speak, it's you, the building terminology? Were you there when the rod and the founding stone and the marking wire were there? The way that the Malbim explains about it, goes going through this, is that you know that that Newton has a number of laws about physics. One of his laws, some people label the third law of physics of Newton, is his gravitational law, that ultimately two bodies have a gravitational effect or pull upon each other. Every object based on its mass will pull on another object, and that is why it is that the Earth is rotating around or revolving around the sun, and why does the moon revolves around the earth, and why human beings are stuck to the earth. Human beings are exerting a force on the earth, and the earth is asserting a force on a human being. Just the human being is much lighter, which is why we keep falling down and the earth doesn't fall up to us, but everything's pulling on each other. And so what the Malbim explains, based on his understanding of physics, which was really just developing at the time, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you created the earth just the right size to be the right gravitational pull, to be just the right distance from the sun. Think about it, you know, at the right angles, when the angles grow narrower during the winter, how much colder the earth gets and how freezing and debilitating it can be, or how hot it can be when we're fully exposed in the summer. Well, imagine that the earth was just slightly smaller, and it was just a little further away from the sun. It was slightly bigger. It was a little closer to the sun because of the gravitational pull. It would be burnt to a crisp, or we would simply freeze. So that's part of what's been discussed here. And his third point is Pesukim Ches to Yud Aleph. In this section, he says, asks a question about the oceans. You know, he describes how the oceans once covered the earth, as we know in the description of creation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu pushed them back, and he keeps them back there. He keeps them, even though the waves, there's this ebb and flow of power. But do you know how that works, or why that works, or why the oceans work? Do you know how tides work? Do you know why it's important that the tides relate to the moon? In the next section, Yud Beis to Chof, roughly, is the fourth point of this. So he talks about themes of light and darkness. Do you know how the warning works? That it grabs the edges of the earth, and the evil are shaken out because of it. And there's beautiful descriptions of light and darkness. What is the understanding of light and darkness? So it could just been that he's saying that in the end of the day, usually burglars, people of no good or of ill repute, operate at night. And when the light comes, they've lost their alibi, they lost their cover. The burglars have to go home. So do you understand when it is that light will come and reveal everything? But there could be a metaphoric understanding, says Rav Shimon Schwab, and that light could be a metaphor for their world to come, that the ultimate and ideal recompense for humanity at such a point. That do you know how that works? And this is really more a targeted question to Eov. Eov, you made all these assertions about God. Do you know how that works? And this leads us to the fifth point, which is Pasuk Chaf Aleph, which I think is perhaps the strongest and most sarcastic Pasuk in this entire perek. Yodata ki oz tivolei du mispari amecho rabim. You knew all this, Eov, right? Because you were born then, right? You must have be very old then, Eov. So you see there's really a certain element of sarcasm. Eov, if you're questioning me, says the Almighty, you must have been there all this time to know all these things, right? And the answer, of course, is not right. And therefore, if you don't have the license to question. The next two psukim, Chof Beis to Chof Gimel, point 6, he talks about snow and sleet. Do you know the differences between all the different snowflakes? Do you know when it rains or when it sleets or snows or when it doesn't? And that's why actually is of another, again, theological aspect of describing the meteorology over here. In the end of Pasuk Chof Gimel, he says, Ata asher chasachti, I withheld the sun and the sleet and the snow for the day of war. Again, we see that he's describing natural things as being theological phenomena. As an example, in 1942-43, that was one of the turning points in World War II when Hitler was pushed back in the winter in Russia. Actually, the same terrain that just in 1812, Napoleon was finally pushed back by the Russians during the general winter, when the general winter beat the French army at that point in time. And Kodesh Baruch Hu describes how he holds back for those moments of war, which we've witnessed in history. Psukim Chav Dalet to Chav Ches is our seventh point, where he talks now not about sleet and rain, sleet and snow, but rather about the thunder and lightning and rain patterns. We see this, saw this in the words of Elihu in the previous perek. This, the Rav Shab points out, is connected to the notion of Sa'ara at the beginning of the perek, the idea of the storm, which he's explaining. Does rain have one father? Is there one type of rain? Why does it rain in the desert where there's nothing that seems to grow? How does this all work? There's amazing things to know. Planet Earth has a whole description about when there is a wet wind which comes off the sea in one of the deserts in Africa, that it hits these large dunes, and there's these bugs which sit at the top of the dunes. They climb all morning to get to the top of the dune just in order to be able to get the wind that is laden with moisture onto the edges of their wings, which they sit upside down, and it falls into their mouth, and that's how they drink and subsist. And when they're on the way down, chameleons eat them. It's an amazing thing. Do you understand any of this, Eov? It's remarkable. He goes now into the next point, which is Sukim Chof Tes and Lamet. He says, do you know how freezing works? Why is the water freezes at the point that it does? And to add to that, why is the solid state of water lighter than the liquid state, which is unusual? Usually the solid state is heavier. Why is it that ice floats on water? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make it that it crystallizes with gaps of air in the middle? Think about it the other way. What happens if the sea would freeze from the bottom, or lakes would freeze from the bottom? All the fish would die. Do you know why that works that way, Eov? Do you know why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created it this way? He goes in Psukim Lamed Aleph to Lamed Gimel. The ninth point, meteorology. Here he talks about Kima, Kasil, Mazarois, Ayish. Those are Kima. Kima is Pleiades, which is one of the brightest constellations, which is found in it's a cluster, or the seven sisters in Taurus. Kasil is Orion. Mazarois refers to the planets. Ayish is Ursa Major, the Great Bear, or the Big Dipper. There are different options as to what this is. Do you know why it is that Pleiades are so close together and Orion is so far apart? Why is it the constellations hang where they are? Point 10 is Psukim Lamed Dalet to Lamed Hei. He now returns to meteorology. Do you know who controls storms? Can you call upon lightning and Hasishlach Barakim Vayalechu? Can you go send them Vayomru Lecha Hinonenu? And then they say, oh, we're here. Meaning to say, can you be in the place you send them to, even if you can't see that send them, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in every place? And finally, the last 11th point of this perek is Psukim Lamed Vav to Mem Aleph, in which he asks in the natural world, now it affects the world of fauna and flora, do you know who gives knowledge to the chicken? Mi shas batuchas chochma, or mi nosan lasech v'ivina. Sounds familiar? The bracha, or the first birkas ha-shachar, is from this pasuk in Eov, Lamed Ches Lamed Vav. Who gives food for the carnivores? Who allows the earth to sustain the plants, which ultimately sustain the plant eaters? Who sustains the chicks of the raven? When it abandons its young. Who allows in the system that all of these ecosystems sustain themselves? The main point HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks in this is, Eov, you claim to have questions on me, but let's get things right first. Do you understand how the system works? If you don't, you don't have a leg to stand on. This ends Perek Lamed Ches, and we will continue tomorrow. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.